Hi, you're watching Sipping Off the Cuff on Tequila Aficionado Media, all of our channels and all of our platforms. I'm Mike Morales here in the command center, the mobile command center in Florida in St. Petersburg, and that gentleman out there is
Jim Johnston in Youngstown, Ohio.
And Jim, I'm excited for you to taste this brand. This evening we are going to taste and dissect Don Sueños. As you can see, I've enjoyed a little bit of the Don Sueños, and we're going to do these in reverse, all right? Jim, show them the Blanco, Jim. There's the bottle of Blanco. It comes in Blanco and Añejo, oddly enough. We will be tasting the Añejo first, and a little bit later on in the season, you'll be catching up with the Blanco, but there's a method to our madness, but I'll keep that to us between Jim and myself. I just forgot the bottle when we left Texas. Okay, sorry. but the Don Sueños folks were really nice enough to make the Añejo happen for both of us, which is great. Just for the sake of transparency, it is at this is at a distillery, $14.99, and I'll give you a name of the distillery here in a second. It is Casa Tequilera de Arandas. A lot of really great names came out of this distillery, like Tromba. At this writing, Tromba has just closed a deal with, I believe, De Kuyper. It's a distribution deal, so it's huge for Tromba. We have Aqua Riva, which we've tasted here on the Sipping Off the Cuff, and tonight Don Sueños. So I'm really excited for you to try this one.
I can't wait.
So let's as you can see, I did try some of it. Now Jim, I'm gonna pour this. I don't think you've had a chance to break that yours open yet, but I'm gonna be using my handy dandy Jarrito, which again is a Stossel item. We're hoping that this gets to be picked up shortly as an official tasting glass for tequila and mezcals. I'm using the wider mouth, and you are using.
I'm using the stemmed Glencairn glass.
Okay. And there's a little history behind this tequila. The master distiller, just so you all know, his name is Jose Aceves. Jose Aceves has been responsible for a lot of stellar brands. I believe that their agave is estate owned. They actually make Three Amigos out of this distillery, which is organic. So, but I believe those guys are growers, and they're using their own agave. I believe that's how that works. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, you've got some really stellar brands coming out of there. And what do you think, Jim? What is it? It's kind of lighter in color than it
is. It is
like
a little bit
bottle.
Lighter than I, you know. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but you know, if I were looking at a bottle without a label, I'd probably go for Reposado for this. Just a little bit light, not terribly light, but you know, clarity's pretty good on it though.
Yes, yeah, it's very clear. It's got some pretty legs and tears. If you're not familiar with how we're using the Jarrito, we're actually, I don't know if you can hear that or not, I'm stirring it or swirling it on a table. As you can see, I don't have a stem on this one, but really pretty legs and tears. Very, very, very clingy.
And with tequila, that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. Oh, wow. There's some dry fruit in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a very the agave on the nose is very clean. It's very it's right there the whole time, but you pick up that dried fruit in there as well.
It's almost the first thing. It's almost the first thing that you catch, and they the folks at Dos Sueños were really nice enough to send us the POS. As you can see, there is a Reposado coming. As to my knowledge, it's not on the market yet. This is some really cool stuff. They've got recipes. They've got signature recipes. They have flavor notes. Some beautiful photography too. Some really nice photography. I don't even know if you can see any of that stuff, but you can see the cover is really pretty too. And wow, I mean, you know, there's some real thought behind this.
It's a fairly detailed brand packet there.
Yeah. You got what, just a flyer? Is it, you got a one page
yeah,
flyer?
Just, yeah, it's a one sheeter.
Okay. Now, I love the dry fruit on the nose. I love the color.
A little bit of baked sugar, almost. Just a really small hint of baked sugar with the agave, but it's very pleasant. And it's not as overwhelming. You and I have had some añejos in the past with a really strong baked fruit, baking spice. This is there a little bit, but it's not overwhelming. It's
a sweetness. It's more subtle. Yeah.
The sweetness is a little bit more dominant than usual.
I like this nose. It's a there's some complexity there. It's not totally three-dimensional, but it is. It does have a complexity that makes you stop.
Yeah.
I love the color, but like you said, outside of the bottle, it's a lot clearer than it actually is in the glass.
Yeah.
A lot lighter. So you're right. This would almost look like a Reposado if you didn't know the difference. Oh, that's pretty, man. It's almost got a fruity nose too.
Yeah.
And there's some alcohol at the bottom.
You do catch that alcohol, and it does come right there at the end, but it's not it's again very subtle, and that sweetness is top to bottom all the way through.
The tell me I'm wrong. Dried orange, like an orange rind.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to call it orange blossom.
It smells like the scent you get when you take the peel off first, and a little bit of that oil gets released when you peel it off. It's just got that little bit of citrus, more of a citrus oil than the actual orange flesh itself, kind of.
Yep, there you go. Make for a good Manhattan or something, or old fashioned.
Oh yeah.
Let's give this a try. Let's find out. Baking spices.
Absolutely. Wow, that's fragrant the whole way through, and it's got a nice long finish on it. Wow. Definitely got the baking spices, and I do still pick up that citrus on the back end of it.
But I think you're right. It is, instead of the rind, it's more of like an orange oil.
Yeah.
It's not like if you would taste something citrusy in a Blanco, where it smells fresh. It's more almost like an orange blossom. This right. one, I think you're right. And I call it orange rind, only because it was dry. But you're right. It's more oily than dry. I think if the nose gave me more of a stronger more dried fruit, then it would be like a dried orange peel. But you're right, this is more like an orange oil. It's subtle, but it's there.
Yeah, and it's not I wouldn't want to give off that it's got a little bit of, like, when you first, if you're trying to peel an orange and you bite into it to get it started, you get a little bit of bitterness with it too. It's not that. It's that first little hit of the scent that you take in that's given it the flavor. It's not anything that makes it taste off or oily or citrusy or even a little bit acidic off the orange. But It's just not like taking a bite of an orange, but it's definitely there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to read you from, bear with me, I'm going to grab my readers. I'm going to read you from the POS material. And here's what they're telling us. Okay. Don Sueño Super Premium Añejo delivers a tequila experience you want to cherish. When you start with our Super Premium Blanco, which is aged for, this is supposedly aged in 18 months in French white oak whiskey barrels. Okay? There's no comma between that phrase.
Okay.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. This has to be a typo. And you know that joke, that meme where if you don't put the comma, it looks like you're eating your uncle instead of, you know.
Right.
What's eating, yes. Uncle?
Yeah. Okay.
Whiskey barrel, regardless of where it comes from, whether it's virgin or not, has to be American oak by law.
Right.
Okay. There is no such thing as a white oak whiskey barrel. French oak, something completely different. Completely different. Those are expensive barrels, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
They're even more expensive when they're virgin. I don't even know if virgin or not. So what we know is that this is an 18-month añejo. I am going to go out on a limb. And I will tell you that the name of the distiller, Jose Aceves, I'm in contact with. I've been in contact with him for several years. I don't know if you can even see his name back there. There we go. It's his signature on the bottle. Up to this point, I have not had a chance to contact him. We've been on the road. But I will go on a limb and say that this is a blend. Because of the way this is written, unless he corrects me, and I'll get down to the bottom of it sooner or later, I'm going to say this is a blend of American white oak whiskey barrels and French oak, and that would explain a lot of the spiciness, Jim, for me anyway, and then maybe the orange. That would be coming from the American oak, you know, the you know what I mean? It's imparted,
yeah.
Or maybe the spices are being imparted by the American oak side of it.
And I'm now that I know that, I'm kind of getting the sensation that orange oil flavor we're talking about is more of like, I'm going to guess that they're virgin oak barrels, because that's where you're getting that fresh cut, that green wood, the fresh wood flavor into this, where it doesn't have any of the, this doesn't have any of the deep baking spice taste that we got with the, with anything with charred oak barrels or used oak barrels. This tastes like this had some fresh oak on it. That could be where that orange oil flavor is coming from.
Could be.
A little bit of a, like a verdant wood, freshly cut wood flavor.
I'll buy that. Not knowing, we're still kind of flying blind. I'm glad that we know it's an 18 month añejo. But I really would like to get down to the bottom of exactly what the combination is. Maybe not the 60-40, 50-50 or whatever. I know it sounds to me like it's a blend, and it's not uncommon. We've had tequilas that start off aged in American oak and whiskey barrels, and then they're finished or polished just like whiskeys in another barrel for
right
30 days, you know, I don't know.
They mellow them a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not a distiller. I'm not into barrel management. I know enough to get in trouble, and I know there's no such thing as a French oak whiskey barrel, okay? The comma belongs
maybe
somewhere.
Maybe they just mixed it up and one slab is American oak and one slab is French
the
oak.
Staves.
And they just, yeah, you know, who knows, what they're doing.
You know, however you're building your, coopering your barrels.
Yeah, that's not my area of experience either.
Yeah.
I like what comes out of them. I don't know what goes into making the barrel.
Well, you know, there's a lot of informational videos on how barrels are made. For instance, where Casanoble gets their French oak barrels. There's a whole documentary about how they where what forest it comes from and how they make the barrels exclusively for, Casa Noble and who the manufacturer is. One of the biggest cooperages in the country belongs to Jack Daniel's, belongs to Brown-Forman. You
Right.
know, they make their own barrels because by law, again, every whiskey has to be aged in a virgin American oak barrel. So, and for the longest time, maybe you knew this or maybe not, but when before Brown-Forman bought Herradura, Herradura was resting their barrel or resting their tequila in Jack Daniel's barrels. So to get that whiskey, that whiskey flavoring, and to try to attract the whiskey drinker, which was a demographic they were missing, and they knew that. Now they sell the barrels to themselves, so that's a hell of a racket, as far as I'm
Well, yeah,
concerned.
and honestly, I think if you're making money on your booze and you have quality stuff, people buying whiskey barrels now, the wine industry is huge into that, buying the bourbon and the whiskey barrels for reds. And I could imagine this resting in a whisk. Now, see, that's the thing. I would like to find out though if it's virgin oak or not, because I don't get that kind of. We've had some that have been in used whiskey barrels, and they get a little bit of that char and that burnt cooked wood flavor in it that is very good. I just feel like this has got a little bit more freshness to it as far as what it was sitting in.
Yeah, it definitely is complex. There's more complexity in there than you really think. I like their story too. They have an interesting story that I probably should impart. Now there are other things that I have a problem with as far as their marketing material, but I'm not going to go into it until maybe we do the Blanco, and then we'll taste and discuss there. But I don't have any problem with the juice. I think they've done a
No.
wonderful job. They created an outstanding tequila. It starts with a vision. It takes a master distiller who can look at a raw agave and envision a future. These guys are really fairly young. There's a photo of them up on their truck.
Oh, yeah.
I believe one of them is Trey Zimmerman. We've been in contact with Mrs. Zimmerman in the past. In fact, she made us aware of Don Sueños, which I appreciate, and brought it to our attention. It was really fun not knowing anything about where they were being distilled. When I discovered it was Jose Aceves, I said, "Hey, I gotta try it because Jose Aceves was responsible for those of you who have been around for a while. You guys might remember Mejor Tequila. Came in a beautiful bottle, a great presentation. It was out for a good 7 or 8 years. It was really hot. It even had, as far as I remember, they were maybe the first or the second brand to come out with a pink tequila." Where all the proceeds went to fighting breast cancer. And
Wow.
it was interesting because we had tasted the pink tequila, Alex and myself. I'm not sure we ever did a sipping off the cuff on Mejor. I think it was one of those that when we transferred the website entirely, it got lost in the
What time,
transfer.
what era was this?
That
The
was
seven or eight
that
years.
got gotta be like I want to say early to mid 90s.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
Okay.
I was drinking juice back then,
Yeah,
so
well,
orange juice.
this was before.
So.
That's why I preface this by saying, for those of
Yeah.
you who remember this brand, they loved it. It was a brand. It was really a reputable brand, and it just I guess it got. I don't know what, again, that perfect storm didn't happen to them. It died on the vine. But Jose was the master distiller. And it was so when Mrs. Zimmerman came to us and said, "Hey, I got Don Sueños, we're wanting to launch in the market." And I said, "Well, where do you produce it?" And she kind of gave us the ins and outs of the distillery. I said, "Wait a minute. I know what comes out of there. I got some great brands I've had there before."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, let's send it out." And lo and behold, we have it tonight. What do you think? Is it brand of promise worthy? I really enjoyed it because it kind of brought some of the nose particularly brought back a lot of memories of Mejor for me.
Well, you know, not knowing that, I'll tell you the añejos that you and I have sampled in the recent past have been really good after dinner tequilas, really good tequilas with a cigar, much more of a slow sipping. It's approachable at a level where I think somebody who is, and we said, you know, the coloring may give you the idea that it's a reposado and not an añejo, but I think that this is. You can be a little bit more versatile with this. I like it. I like the flavor on it. I really like the nose on it. And, I think it certainly would hold up in cocktails pretty well. But I think as just a regular old sipper, you could have this neat and not, if you're not in the mood for something that's got a little bit more depth on the spice flavor. I mean, I don't want to get into like the wine classification here, but you've got dessert wines and you've got, this is not a dessert añejo tequila. This is something that you can definitely have paired with food pretty well.
That's what I was going to say. You know, even some añejos we've had, we'd want to pair with a dessert. Honestly, this one's got enough character in it. They would pair really well with a meal.
Yeah.
You know, with like a steak or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because the other ones we've had are not, something. They've got a flavor on them. You're not going to be able to eat them with an entree. You've got to have something that matches the sweetness, matches the baking spice on the añejo and that baked sugar taste. Whereas this has it on the nose. It's got a little bit of it on the flavor, but it's not so much there that it's going to be overpowering to an entree, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to interfere. And you know what? The longer it sits, the more it opens up.
Yeah.
This really has way more spiciness than it had at the beginning.
It's got a lot of character. I mean, it really is complex, and it's you're right. There's some stuff opening up on the back end here too that I think is good. And honestly,
excuse me,
I enjoy it. I think I think Brand of Promise nominee.
I think so too. I think Brand of Promise nominee in the añejo category. That's our take and my dog's take on Don Sueños. You've been watching Sipping Off the Cuff here on Tequila Aficionado Media. If you're watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe down below if you've had Don Sueños, or if you remember some of the other tequilas like Mejor, or maybe it's similar to Tromba or some of the other ones coming out of that distillery, let us know. If you follow us on any of the other platforms, don't forget to follow us. And Jim's group, Seamus.
I got to give the Irish love, but St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
We appreciate the fact that Don Sueño sent this out to us. We will be tasting the Blanco a little bit later on in the season, so hang in there with us. But like I said, here in Florida, whether in Florida or San Antonio, wherever you're watching us, don't forget, tomar sabiamente.
Sip wisely.
I'm Mike Morales. I'm CEO of Tequila Aficionado Media. And I just wanted to thank you for watching Sipping Off the Cuff. We love doing these reviews for you. Now, if you're an agave spirits brand owner and you're watching this, there are three things that I'd like to talk to you about. Number one, if you'd like us to review your agave spirit on Sipping Off the Cuff, just send me an email, mike@tequilaaficionado.com. It won't cost you a dime, and I promise you'll get an honest review. Number two, if your brand has been nominated, past or present, as a brand of promise, we can help you promote your brand effectively and affordably over on the tequila PR side of things. Just email me, mike@tequilapr.com. And number three, if your brand has ever been a Brand of Promise nominee or a winner, you automatically qualify with us or to go with us on our next promotional tequila tour. So shoot me an email, tours@tequilaaficionado.com, and I'll send you all the details on our upcoming tequila tour. That's it. Thanks again for watching. Sip wisely.